Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Richard Pfeiffer and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we have an open line for you right now. If you have a question you'd like to pose or a particular life issue you'd like to discuss, call now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here is Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. All this month, we've been looking at the benefits that accrue to us as a result of Jesus' resurrection. And I'm going to read a passage, and we'll talk about it a little bit. It comes out of 2 Thessalonians. And this might sound a little strange at first, but hang in there. Starting in verse 13, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers." These are the people he's writing to, that Paul is writing to. "Beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Interesting that he calls them first fruits. He also calls Jesus the first fruits from the dead. Mm-hmm. "To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." One of the greatest benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our newfound ability in the Spirit to stand firm. Yeah. The reason we can stand firm is because he really rose from the dead, and then he really sent the Holy Spirit. And we get to walk every day in the reality of the power of God himself living inside of us, mm-hmm. transforming us, renewing our minds, teaching us how to think and to choose and to behave. And Paul says this a lot. He says, stand firm.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a lot, well, what you need to do is charge forward. What you need to do is go and take the government for God, or take California for God, or take Russia for God. He doesn't say that. He says, stand firm in this truth, in this power. And we have the right to do that, and the ability given to us by God himself to do that and represent Jesus.
Yeah.
Not ourselves being victorious for him, but ourselves victorious in him. And that is an incredible value.
Yes, it is. Andrew, yeah. Your thoughts?
Well, guys, you know, you just look at how stand firm is used in the New Testament, and you look at Paul's mandate to the New Testament church. Hey, watch out. I mean, watch out for deceivers. Stand firm in the truth. Stand firm in the grace of God. Don't let yourselves be subject to the bondage of slavery. Again and again, Paul uses this expression, Ephesians chapter 6, stand firm, and he's talking about the armor of God. So we have an enemy, and we have enemy ideas. But as Richard said, hey, we don't charge out ahead of God's Spirit. We walk in step with God's Spirit, and we stand firm in the truth. And a lot of times, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to act like jerks. It just means that we're supposed to know that we're secure and safe in the arms of Jesus. And if you're a secure person, you can act like it. If you're a secure person, you're safe to act that way. It's not being arrogant or boastful. We're bragging on Jesus, but Jesus has done so much for me that I can wake up every day and say thank you and stand firm in the truth of that and celebrate the fullness of Jesus.
Well, that's good stuff, guys. Thank you, Richard and Andrew, for those wonderful thoughts as we get the broadcast underway today. And again, friends, we have open lines if you'd like to join the conversation. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And friends, I hold in my very hands right here a brand new book just released a couple, just about 2 weeks ago by Andrew Farley. It's called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. And Andrew, I know on your broadcast and on this one, we have heard them all over and over and over again. So tell the listeners a little bit about the book.
Well, so many Christians are scared. I mean, we end up living in fear. We live in insecurity. We're not sure of what we believe and why we believe it. A preacher comes on television or radio, or we pick up a book and it says that we should be scared. God might tell us, depart from me.
Yeah.
We should be scared. God might spew us out of his mouth. We should be scared. God's going to delete us from the book of life. And there are so many passages that are just twisted. And so in this book, Twisted Scripture, I'm talking about how we can get caught up in lies, or we can believe the truth that sets us free every single time. And that freedom is real, but it's only going to be experienced and enjoyed as we get our minds renewed. And that's the motivation behind writing this. I mean, my heart and my prayer is that as people get this book, the scales will start falling off of their eyes, and they will be able to see, number one, how good God is, and number two, how he made us good, that we've got a new heart, a new spirit, God's spirit. We've been made into new people at the core. And then just to see, look, all of this funny business out there about there being an obstacle between us and God. God's ticked off at you. God's frustrated with you. God can't hear your prayers. All of that stuff needs to fall away so that we can fix our eyes on Christ and celebrate him. And that's why I wrote the book Twisted Scripture, Bob.
Twisted Scripture by Andrew Farley. And we have a link for you, a banner right across the homepage at basicgospel.net. We encourage you to go there. It will take you to amazon.com where you can order your copy. Again, just visit basicgospel.net and click the banner Twisted Scripture by our friend Andrew Farley. And Andrew, it's great to have you on the broadcast today. Thanks for your faithfulness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Love being with you guys.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And friends, if you want to see this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus expanded to many new areas and reach out to new listeners, well, this is how you can do that. And if, you know, to that point, we have received some very good news, Richard. Fill us in on this excellent matching gift.
Well, a group of people, very faithful supporters of Basic Gospel, have gotten together and put together a $35,000 matching grant. We can double that.
Yes.
Just respond in thanks to what they have done, and let's make this thing look like $70,000. Mm-hmm. It's entirely doable.
Yes.
We could do that this week if we wanted to.
And above.
Yes. Let's blow the lid off of the thing. We are eternally grateful to people who do this sort of thing. We're eternally grateful to those of you who believe in this message and believe in reaching people with Jesus. And we thank you that you trust us with your funds. And it is a sacred trust, and we take it very seriously. And we're so thankful that we have a chance to do this every day.
Yes.
And we don't do it just on radio. We get to answer the phone and write emails, mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. All of it for one purpose, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus, who is the only name worth lifting up.
And as you give this month, friends, and through the end of the fiscal year, end of the month of June, every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that $70,000. And as Richard said, let's blow the top off this thing and just really reach out to new areas where this ministry has yet to be heard to proclaim this grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So visit basicgospel.net and click that big donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri. Let's talk to our friend Brad. Hey, Brad, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, it's a beautiful day in our neighborhood.
Ah, okay.
Before I get to my main point, I want to tell Andrew, last night I reviewed a five-part series on 2 Peter, and he talked about people think they can walk away from God, and he said that's going to be kind of hard since if you're in Christ, Jesus is your walker. And so, well, what you guys were talking about today, standing firm, well, Jesus is our standard, too. So
yes.
I stole that from you, Andrew. But
awesome. Well, thanks, Brad.
I've got a really – I don't want to make it too complicated, but I think it's very interesting. Andrew and Richard and Bob, you guys have talked about Hebrews 1-10. The only sin it talks about is unbelief. We know John 16 talks about that's why the Holy Spirit was sent to convict the world of sin, which is not believing in Jesus. On top of that, I've been looking at all the scriptures that have sin in them, just in the epistles mainly. Could you build for me a picture of how you, I mean, so many Christians I talk to don't have a clue that it's the unpardonable sin and it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that sin of unbelief was not under the shed blood and you can only be removed by receiving Christ. Can you guys talk about that for a little bit, please? I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, Brad, you know, what we're talking about here is passages like Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 6, and, you know, people wonder what these warnings are about. And, of course, the quick mistake, the easy mistake that we can make is looking at Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 6. Oh, my goodness, if I just keep sinning willfully, then all bets are off. God is done with me. He's ticked off at me. The blood of Jesus has run out on me. And you say, whoa, hang on, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus die for my sins? So why would a willful sin ruin that? Isn't every sin willful? I mean, when you think about it, guys, I prefer
it wasn't that way, but,
right.
But it is.
Lord, I'm sorry. My will wasn't even involved on that one. I don't know what happened. Sin got the best of me and I had no choice. Well, no, the reality is that every single time we sin, our will is involved. We choose to do that. So what does this author of Hebrews mean when he says, if we go on sinning willfully? Well, these Hebrews were willfully rejecting the gospel. And that's what we need to see. That's what you're referring to, Brad, for 10 chapters, the sin is unbelief. Hey, look what your forefathers did, Hebrews. They hung out in the wilderness. They refused to enter the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. They rejected God's message. They wouldn't put confidence in it. They wouldn't stand firm in it. They wouldn't move forward in it. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years, missing out on the promised land. And so then the author says, likewise, don't make the same mistake that your forefathers did. Here's a new message from God. It's about Jesus, about his death, burial, and resurrection. He is Messiah. Now, if you guys reject this message, guess what? You are going to experience a spiritual wilderness just like your forefathers. So that is the unforgivable sin. The unforgivable sin is rejecting the forgiveness of God. The unforgivable sin is rejecting Jesus, saying he's not Messiah, not putting your confidence in him, not looking to his cross and resurrection for new life. That is the unforgivable. Why? Because God says, I stand at the door and knock, but he will not knock down the door. He stands at the door knocking, but not knocking it down. He is a gentleman. He will not force his way into our lives. He let Adam and Eve rebel. He will let people today reject. That is the nature of God, as that's what real love is. Love sets people free to choose. Love does not control in a manipulative fashion. So that's why, guys, these warnings are real. I mean, we need to get the message out. That's what we're doing here at Basic Gospel, sharing the message, because we know that people have a real choice. They can accept or reject. But bottom line, Richard, Bob, this is not about a Christian losing their salvation. No. This is about a Hebrew who is completely missing out on salvation because they won't believe in the truth about Jesus.
Yeah, it having lived that life for way too long, it once it finally dawned on me what Jesus had accomplished, then, and of course I felt terribly guilty for having rejected that the whole time, and he had to remind me that, no, I knew you rejected that. That's one of the things I forgave. And the idea that somehow we can look at Jesus and say, well, you know, he died for all sins and he rose from the dead and now it's our turn. Where do we get that? It's just pride and arrogance and really fear-based, because that's what arrogance is. It's a false pride that's based on fear. And let's get rid of the fear, folks. Go to Jesus. Go to the Father. Let the Holy Spirit inside of you tell you that there is nothing you can do to cause me to leave you. And believe it. And when you start to believe that, you will find that the sins that have had a hold on you will begin to go away, because now you're not focused on those sins. You're focused on Jesus, who is the solution to all of that mess. And Andrew is absolutely right. I mean, we read into this stuff and we try to make it say things that it doesn't say. And all Jesus is asking for is us to trust him. Just follow me and see if my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is, folks.
He said it was.
Yeah.
We believe him. Good question, Brad, and great answer from Andrew and Richard. Andrew Farley, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We have open lines again at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. It's about 15 past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, so if you're hearing the broadcast at that time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this question that came in off hours.
Yeah, I have two. This is Ernest. I have two questions. Is there anything written in the Bible about aliens? And two, who constructed all those gigantic structures that weigh tons and tons with accurate chiseling? Because they said there were no tools during those days. Give me an answer. I'll listen to your faith. Thank you very much.
An unusual question.
Yeah. I saw a fascinating documentary about 2 years ago now that was they were trying to figure out how some of these ancient temples had been built and why they were so precisely built. And, I mean, to the fact that individual gigantic stones, tons and tons, you couldn't slip a piece of paper between the rocks. And this is after 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years.
Yeah.
And what they came to the conclusion of was almost shocking because they didn't say, well, the aliens came. They said, obviously, these people had technology that we don't know about, that we don't have access to from history, because they were measuring arcs and triangles and polygons at distances that would require today all kinds of laser beams and that sort of thing. But they had the means of building these buildings. It took them a long, long time, but they moved stone. They quarried the stone. They moved the stones. They got the stones set in place. This wasn't aliens. These are human beings. And I think we sell the ancient world short. If you've bought into the evolutionary theory, you think that everybody was crawling around with their knuckles on the ground until, you know, the Middle Ages or something. That's not true. These were brilliant people. Yeah. They had minds just like we do. Think about the antediluvian world. Think about Adam and Eve and their children. What kind of brain power they had and how long it took for devolution to occur as sin had its way in our bodies.
Yeah.
We sell them short. They're not aliens. They're real live human beings. And praise God that he gave us the ability to think of these things and to build stuff. I love engineering. I love to watch bridges built and huge buildings built. This is the stuff of miracles, except it's scientific, and God gave us that ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you think about Egyptian algebra, for example. I mean, the fact that they had algebra and were blown over by that. How much more could they apply that to things like geometry and physics? And, you know, there's all kinds of theories. There's a theory that the Nile River was used in a great capacity to transport heavy stones. There's the theory that sand could be wetted and then heavy objects could be dragged across wet sand. I mean, you know, we just don't want to go to the aliens thing because that's where we're really checking our brain at the door. People have twisted the Nephilim passage in Genesis to be about aliens simply because it says that, you know, people came from a high place down to a low place. And we interpret that as meaning, oh, they came from outer space in ships. But, you know, high place and low place can certainly mean hilltop or mountaintop, and there can be a civilization up high and then another down low. And so, you know, we're always, and unregenerate people are doing this too. They're making movies about alien invasions, and this is our greatest fear. And really, our greatest fear should be the simple fact that we're still in Adam, if we're not knowing the Lord, and it's a fallen world that we already live in. Someone's already invaded. I I mean, his name is Satan, and he caused a great fall, and the power of sin has run rampant for thousands of years. We already live in a place of desperation, and we desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be what we're most concerned about.
Yes, indeed. Great stuff, guys. Thank you. Let's go and talk to with Renee in Grand Prairie, Texas. Hi, Renee. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was calling. I wanted to know about Sabbath keeping. Is are we to keep the Sabbath as okay. they did in the Old Testament?
Well, Renee, the short answer to that is no, that we're free from that. I mean, you look at Colossians chapter 2, Renee, and it says that we're free from a Sabbath. The Sabbath was nothing but a shadow, and the reality is Christ. Paul was worried. I mean, he was worried about the Galatians. He was worried about the Colossians because these folks were getting distracted by Jewish festivals and Jewish observances, and they were Gentiles. They were Gentiles, I'm guessing, like you and me. Here we are living thousands of miles from Israel with most radio listeners likely being of Gentile descent. So if we're not Jews, then we were never even invited to the law. And what we have is not about a Saturday rest. It's about a spiritual rest in Christ Jesus. And that's what Hebrews chapter 4 talks about. It encourages people to enter a spiritual rest. So it's not about taking off work on Friday night and refusing to work on Saturday in order to please God. No, what really pleases God is when we rest in what Jesus Christ did for us. So resting in the finished work of the cross, resting in the reality of what God did in the resurrection, raising us up to newness of life. I would say, guys, that, you know, I'm resting when I wake up every day and I say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for taking away my sins once for all. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for giving me that new heart and causing me to be one with you. Thank you, Jesus. And at that point, I take a big sigh of relief. I am resting in what Jesus did instead of trying to do a bunch of stuff for him. I've put the focus on the Son of God. I've fixed my eyes on him, and it just makes me go, with a sigh of spiritual relief. That's what the Sabbath rest is today, Renee. Does that help?
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Good. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, great to hear from you,
Renee.
Guys, I think we have just enough time to squeeze in this question from Corey. It says, Hebrews 10:2 baffles me. What does it mean that we have no consciousness of sins?
Well, if you look at Hebrews 10:1, the writer is saying, well, the law is but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities. It can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near, perfect or complete. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? And here's the reason. Since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. Well, it's obvious that throughout the Jewish sacrificial system and throughout us, the Gentile world, we have always had this consciousness of sin. So something about those sacrifices was insufficient. Mm-hmm. That's why he's saying, come to Jesus, because Jesus, once and for all, took away sin, declared us perfect in him. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, don't worry about, oh, I shouldn't have a consciousness of sin. You can't walk down the street without a consciousness of sin.
Yeah.
Look at it from the standpoint of the value of the sacrifice, not whether or not I have sin in my life or I see sin in anyone else's life. Mm-hmm. It's about Jesus. It's not about us.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for your availability to address the needs of our listeners. And to our listeners, we love hearing from you. So keep the calls, the emails, and the questions coming. Friends, also keep in mind that Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your support to keep the good news of our Lord Jesus on the air and online every day. And your gift today will count double because of this excellent matching gift offer of $35,000. Every dollar that you give will be matched double. So help us get this message out. Help us turn that $35,000 into $70,000 and beyond as we approach the end of our fiscal year at the end of next month, June, which is not very far away. So anyway, we encourage you right now, if you can today, to go to basicgospel.net and click that donate link, and we would love for you to partner with us. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that the listener line is always open for you. Got a question? 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all this ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.